All right, take your Bibles. We'll have a little bit of teaching here today as we continue on here in Luke, the fourth chapter. Luke chapter 4, looking at this introduction of Jesus as he gives his introduction to his ministry in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, and we've been there for a little bit of time. We're going to be there for just a little while longer. So we're trying, I'm trying to drag out. No, I'm trying to expound on some stuff. I'll tell you what. What I'm getting is a working over is in my own personal life, which is a good thing. It's always good for me to get a working over by the Lord. And just reminding me and showing me things for myself. And I hope that this will be the truth of God for your life as well, of God's Word. Luke 4, verse 18, we'll have our scripture reading in just a minute. But Luke 4, 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Here we have Jesus standing in the synagogue in Nazareth, and as he reads from the book of Isaiah. And then later on here in this, he says, "And this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." So Jesus gives this as this introduction of his ministry. And we're looking at this as different points, different parts of his ministry. Today we're going to look at the portion he says that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit, has come to touch our lives. That's what he's doing here in the synagogue. He's saying that he's already been anointed by the Holy Spirit, and now he has come to touch those people's lives that are there in that synagogue, in that church that day. But he's also here to touch your life. And the question for each of us is, will we be touched? Will we allow God, will we allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to touch our lives? And are you looking, and this sometimes this is the most important question for me, maybe it is for you too, is am I looking to have Christ touch my life? Or am I just looking to run my own show and just keep on and doing my own thing? But are we actively searching, are we actively seeking for God to touch our lives? I'm going to offer a quote that I heard on the radio this week. This is bonus material. It isn't exactly my message here today, but I think it's appropriate anytime we open the Word of God. Okay, he said. Joel, is it 98.5? What's that new radio station that has the 88.3, the black gospel people? Yeah. And so I'll encourage, there's some real truth on that radio station. So anyway, I heard a guy on there, and he said this. He said, "God does not open his secrets to a Christian with a closed Bible." He said it. I didn't say that, but I like it because I think that's true in my life. If I want to hear the secrets of God, the secrets of God for my life, I got to open this. But I will tell you, when you do, he is faithful to open his secrets into our lives. So I know there's a lot of people, I've met many in my life that don't like to read. And there are people in my life that can't read. They can't read. They're blind, or they're, you know, there's different things going on in their lives. For if you can't read, they have this wonderful thing called recordings. They're like CDs. Or there's also Christian radio. You know, choosing to listen. I mean, you have, we all know you got to sort things out a lot of times. But I'll tell you, just getting whatever somebody's saying, they can, I mean, they may be wrong 90% of the time. But they'll be right 10% because they'll have the word in there somewhere, you know. And so listen to the word, and read the word, eat it, digest whatever you, however it is, get the word in you, and the secrets of God will be open to you. I'll just want to let you know that. All right, we're ready to read the scripture reading, but it's not in Luke. So you got to turn to the book of Psalms. When you get to Psalms 51, would you stand and we'll read this passage together? Or if you just don't get there, stand anyway if you can. Psalm 51, verses starting at verse 10. In fact, would somebody read that for me, please? For us. Thank you. Please be seated. In the end of that passage in Psalms 51, we'll maybe read just a little bit of that. Verse 15, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praises. Then he goes on, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and crushed or contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Thank you, Troy, for reading that passage for us. To heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. What does that mean? And more specifically, what does it mean to us individually? And I think we're going to look at that and have some real application for our hearts. I wanted to review just a little bit. Kathy and I were at City Light last week, which I'll invite you to, again, to anybody that feels like going down there, come to us. It's we're really being blessed there. But last week at City Light, we read this verse. I recycled a message down there, repurposed it for them. And so we went down and we read this verse 18, Luke 4:18, excuse me, not out of Psalms, Luke 4:18. Read that, had them read it. And I asked one of the ladies who's there, who really has a tender heart, to read this passage. She volunteered to read it. And as she began to read the passage here, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. She was sitting in her little chair, and as she was reading, there was a recessed light in the ceiling that hadn't been working. And as she read this first little passage right here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right at that moment, the light came on and shone right down on her chair and on her Bible that she was holding in her chair. And she just like gasped and stopped dead in her tracks. Kathy was there. And she just began to talk about, look at that. You know, and so we just stopped as well. And we just talked about how God just cares for us. And he has these marvelous wonders, these blessings that happen to us day by day. And are we listening? Are we watching? Are we paying attention to the wonders that God does in our lives continually? And, that, and maybe most important, that he cares for every person. And she was really getting that, that God would do something, just that he cares for her. And he'd turn on the light for her and just reinforce this little message for her. And we just had a great time there in that, and all the ladies were just, you know, then they all just, you know, they saw the moving of the Spirit, and they just all began to open up. And we had, you know, we didn't do the lesson for 15, 20 minutes. We just sat there and had a marvelous time. And that's the best, isn't it? Isn't that just the best? You know, God has a way better lesson than I ever could dream of. And when that happens, we just do that down there. But will you stop what you're doing and talk to God and ask him to be present with you? And in that, what are you doing to invite him into your presence? Well, this passage here, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. In the book of Isaiah, the Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Jesus was reading from. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And the phrase, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. When I look at this passage in Luke here as what Jesus is saying to me, I'm asking myself today, what is it from this that applies to me? If Jesus says that he is going to heal the brokenhearted, I'm in. You know, I'm saying, over here. You know, help me. I really feel blessed because I don't feel like I'm brokenhearted right now. I feel like I'm pretty whole. You know, I feel like I'm just, things are, you know, I'm really, and I know many of you just feel like you're really blessed in your lives. Things aren't perfect. You know, we still have to live with people. But there's, of course, I'm not referring to me. actually, it is me. I know that I'm messing up stuff all the time. But it's, you know, our life, I feel like I'm really blessed in my life. And it's not everything. It's not, certainly not everything. But how can I apply this passage that Jesus gives here that says he came to heal? It says he was sent. It doesn't say he just came. It says he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to heal the brokenhearted. We looked last time as it says that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, we talked a little bit last time about, okay, I'm pretty rich. I'm an American. That's just like an automatic qualifier to be rich. And it's insane how rich we are just as Americans. I mean, the poorest virtually of us is rich. But how is it that, what is it in Christ's ministry to heal the brokenhearted can speak to me? Well, the word heal, it says to heal the brokenhearted, to cure, make whole, bind up, to heal. And to heal whom? It says the brokenhearted, those that are crushed completely, shattered, bruised. And it says that our heart is bruised. People who are broken, it's people that are brokenhearted. He says he's come to heal people that are brokenhearted. He has a very specific task that he's set out for here. I like the word that Luke uses, broken, and as it's used later in Jesus' life, you don't need to turn there because you'll remember it. But in, in the Gospel of Mark, it's referred to. It wasn't Luke. It's and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. It says, then she broke the flask and poured it on Jesus' head. It's that brokenness. It's the same word, the brokenhearted. But it's how do we become bruised so that God can heal us? And sometimes we're bruised and we're broken because of the things that are around us. But I want to have Jesus heal me and make me whole all the time. So I'm going to look at it, if you'll bear with me. I think an application that we can use this all the time in our lives. Barnes writes of this same verse. He says, it means to console those who are deeply afflicted, whose hearts are broken by external calamities or by a sense of their own sinfulness. That's the brokenness. To heal the broken. That's who the brokenhearted are. Those who are broken by external calamities or by a sense of their own sinfulness. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is real and that in his ministry he wants to work a work in our hearts. And the work of the Holy Spirit is real as Jesus wants to employ it. When he says that he wants to mend and bandage and heal our hearts, it takes... We have to come to him with a broken heart. With a broken heart. And maybe our emotions are broken. Maybe our feelings are hurt. But is our spirit broken? And broken within us? God's... In that alabaster jar... She had to crush it to release all of that. And it is in that crushing, in that brokenness, that then that aroma was released and pervaded that room. God's Spirit desires, I believe, that we be truly broken, that our spirit be broken. And truly broken, not, I wrote down here, truly broken, not just a stress crack. You know, I walk into houses and buildings, especially because I work downtown in a couple of buildings. One of them's over 100 years old. And, you know, there's little cracks that appear from time to time. And they're stress cracks, you know, something moved. But it didn't move enough to really warrant a lot of repair. It's just, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Well, I think, in our lives, we need to come to the point where it isn't that God just keeps an eye on us. He says, we want him to really work in our hearts. We want to be broken, not just have a stress crack and just whine about it. Well, it doesn't look good. It's just not quite the thing. We really need to look. And part of the question here really is, when we plead, baptize me, Lord, you know, it's like Peter. It says, don't just wash my feet. He says, wash all of me. We need to come to that point of commitment in this brokenness. Or sometimes we just kind of say, well, sprinkles, I'm kind of in trouble here. Sprinkle some fairy dust on me so I can just get out of this situation. I would suggest that Scripture would encourage us to be baptized every bit. A full dunking is in order, and maybe repeatedly dunking. In the drawer in my office, I keep this picture, and it's of Cindy's baptism, Rusty and Cindy down at the river, and. You know, when I look at this picture, what do I see on her? I see joy on her face. Amen. And there's joy on Rusty. You can't quite see Rusty's face, but you can see he's smiling as they come out of the water there. And I'll pass that around. That would be cruel to not let you look at it closely. There's joy in that. And I think that today, when Jesus calls us that he wants to heal the brokenhearted, that in that healing of the brokenhearted, there is joy available for our lives. When we truly are broken, when we say, I need to have God in my life. Turn with me, there in Psalm 51, at the very end, as Troy read, it says, you do not desire a sacrifice or else I would give it. You don't delight in a burnt offering, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a crushed heart. You know, we could rephrase that. We could say, Lord, you don't want me to sacrifice a dove, you want me. That's what he's saying there. That's what David's saying. And when David writes that, I think he does that out of great experience and personal introspection that he has found in his life. You know, he had spent a lot of time thinking, whether when he was a shepherd boy or when it was he was running from Saul, there was alone time when he just thought, and his thoughts took him to this place that told him that, God, you didn't want me to just kill a dove. What's the point of that? You want me. And he said, what condition does he want him? He wants him in that condition of that sacrifice, broken. Broken. God doesn't, I don't think God comes to us and say, when you get yourself all put together and you become rich and famous and everybody likes you and your house is all paid for and you're whole, then come to me. It's never that. God is saying, come to me, the more broken you are, that's me. That's when I want you. Because I find in my life that when I feel I'm more whole, I'm of less worth to God. Or it probably wasn't properly stated, but you get my drift, I think. There's I need God more, that's when he wants me more. This is the brokenness. But you know, I don't want to live constantly in a state of despair. You know, you remember that old hee-haw song? Some of you that are old enough to remember hee-haw. It's gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression. So what is excessive misery? Then if it wasn't for bad luck, I had no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, maybe it repeats. You know, I'm not saying we need to be in that position. In fact, I don't think God is even asking for us to be in that position. In fact, he tells us that he wants us to have joy. Yeah, or self-pity. Yeah, that's it. He said, you know, don't be in self-pity. We saw David. David would get in that, but then he'd catch himself, wouldn't he? And he'd say, God, you're marvelous. You're amazing, God, what you accomplish every day. So, you know, and as I thought about this, here's kind of where I ended up. I thought of the days growing up before I knew Christ in my life, my personal life. I remember being sad, just sad. You know, and I don't think I really felt sorry for myself because I got to go fishing a lot. You know, so bless my grandparents. They loved fishing. And it fed my soul. I had a lot of great times. But I did not like sitting in the back seat of the car road hunting. That's when I did really feel sad. We put 300,000 miles on an Oldsmobile Super 88, mostly road hunting. I've been over every road in central Idaho dozens and dozens of times. I know what that hill looks like, what that hill looks like, and I know there's no deer there and no deer there. Time and time again. But I remember just having a sense of sadness. Kathy asked me recently, well, what did you guys do for fun? And I said, we didn't have fun. And, you know, it's a pretty sorrowful comment, but it was pretty much true. She said, well, who'd you have over for that would stay over with you? We never had a friend stay over. Never went to a friend's house to stay over. Never went to visit a friend, you know, of those things. I'm not saying that so you can, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying I just felt a lot of sadness. And here's the deal that I think that I feel is true in the Spirit, what's true out of the Scriptures. Natural brokenness, hear this, natural brokenness produces sadness. Okay? Spiritual brokenness brings joy when we turn it over to God. We can be broken in our natural, you know, lives in a lot of different ways. And if that's just what we've got, then I think we just get a crop of sadness. It's like a crop of okra. Sorry if you like okra. But spiritual brokenness, when we come to spiritual brokenness, God, we come to the point where we realize God takes care of us. And God does bless us. And God comes into our heart. I remember being broken in my spirit, turning to Christ, and then just this wave of joy. Just this wave of relief that comes over you, because that's the answer. Because there's the answer in that. And when I see Jesus giving this passage, he has sent, that this God has sent him to heal the brokenhearted. He wants us broken in our spirit regularly, to sense so that he can come and make us whole. That's what that word heal means there. It doesn't mean put a bandage on it or, you know, stick a compress or, you know, any medical term. It's wholeness in our lives. Yes. And so we come in our lives and we find this element of that we make these decisions to have our spirit broken. To make our spirit, have our spirit broken. And when we do, you can say this. This is words out of a song I love. It says, this morning when I rose, I don't have no doubt. God will take care of me. He'll watch over me. He'll watch over me. This morning when I rose, I have no doubt. God will take care of me. He'll watch over me. That's what happens when we come past the point of spiritual brokenness and we lay our spirit at God's feet. He says, then we can have that assurance. The word tells us about that. We can have that assurance of eternal life within ourselves. Psalm 34, if you'd return there, please. Psalm 34. Starting at verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite or a crushed spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We cannot change ourselves or others, even in brokenness. It takes a broken spirit to effect change. It takes a broken spirit to effect change. Our will often has to be broken. But it's a spiritual question that we have. Our spirit, if your spirit is, the Bible talks about a haughty spirit, one that says, I'm in control. It's coming to that point where God, my heart, I have to give you my heart. I have to break my heart before you. That last statement in Psalm 34, verse 19, tells us, well, I tell you, some of you won't like this. I didn't. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And David's talking here about those that have had a broken and contrite heart. It's the righteous. And it says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The righteous. And he delivers us. This is the gospel of the poor that Jesus spoke of. David had this alone time. He'd thought about this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be a part of the righteous. We get there to the part of being called the righteous by having a broken heart. And be a part of that group, okay? But it says the Lord delivers him out of all of those afflictions. Hear this. So today, let me close with this. If you or I desire God to be near, I guess first you open your Bible. We got that early on, didn't we? You want God to be near, start opening the scripture. And whether it's opening by pushing track 47 or pushing this radio station, or whether it's opening the physical Bible, do that. It says you desire God to be near, employ the first part of Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. I want the Lord to be near to me. I don't know of anybody that doesn't want the Lord. Well, I did too. I read about a guy that this week. He says he's an atheist, but in his article on being an atheist, he admitted that he had called out to God when he needed help. Yeah, you know, the Lord is near to those who what? Have a broken heart. A broken heart. I want the Lord to be near. So I think it's incumbent upon everyone who wants that in their life to learn what it is to have a broken heart, a broken spirit. What's inside here? And then if you or I desire God to be near, also employ the last of verse 18. And it says, he saves such as have a crushed spirit, a crushed spirit, not one that's got a stress crack. All right, it takes more than that. You gotta get crushed in your spirit, realizing you're not in control. God is in control. God has what you has for the best things in mind for you, and what he has in mind for you is joy. And maybe you'll think about that little element that I thought about, that being brokenhearted in the natural brings a sadness. But being brokenhearted in the spiritual brings us joy. Brings us joy. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we've come with hard hearts to you many times. And we've made these pleas and we've said, why aren't you doing this, God? Why aren't you doing that? And just that whole attitude, God, doesn't speak to being broken. Doesn't speak to be broken at all. It says, I'm in control. And God, I just pray you'd forgive me. You'd forgive me for having that kind of an attitude, thinking I'm the one. When what you want, you don't want a sacrifice. You don't want me to go find a beautiful little dove and wring its head off. You want me to be broken. Because that's what you work with. That's your best material, is a broken heart. And out of that broken heart, you have provided joy and peace and a way in afflictions to find strength to say, God, you are still on the throne and you love me and this day is a beautiful day and thank you for it. Lord, that's not denial. That's admitting what's real. And we just want to come before you asking that you accomplish that in our hearts. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, I'm looking to all my broken friends. Be broken, because I want the very best for you.